thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. There's no other place I'd want to be this morning. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know I'm biased and I'm ringing. But there's no other fellowship I'd want to be with right now either. And let me explain why. Francis, am I on, fellas? Okay, just want to make sure I'm good. Francis Frangipane had a famous saying in one of his books, and he says this. He says, the wounds of the saints are the currency of heaven. The wounds of the saints are the currency of heaven. God buys spiritual assets with the wounds of the saints. He went to, it's a kingdom dynamic. He went to the cross and suffered. He was wounded for what? Our transgressions. And if we're going to be like Christ, we have our own cross to bear, right? No one gets out of this life alive. And you know, the longer you've lived, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to limp or you're going to strut. Right? Life's going to hit you and you can limp, but God can touch it and it can turn into a strut. Look what God has done. And the reason I say I wouldn't want to be in any other place this morning, specifically here, is because I know one thing about my God. When the enemy tries to come in and take out the prophetic voice last year and failed, and then he comes in and tries to take out the heart of worship this almost a year to the date, then that tells me the voice, the prophetic voice and heart of worship that is about to come out of this place is not going to be like anything we've ever seen in our history of being here. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know what it looks like, but boy, I know he's going to do it. And I'm going to get in where I fit in, and I'm inviting you to do the same because God is about to do something miraculous in this place. Specifically, now we are part of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is moving and is doing wonderful and great things. We've seen that in our culture so far. I mean, revivals are popping up everywhere simply because of the enemy coming in and trying to silence a prophetic voice. And we're seeing the results of that. Well, get ready, church, what he's going to do here as well. Things get, you know, far be it from me to try to take another pastor's slogan. But if I could put my best T.D. Jakes voice on, I would say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Because I'm telling you, things are about to happen. Things are about to happen. And I just look forward to seeing God do so many things. And Pastor Terry and Pastor Charlie, I look forward to him just their voices being stronger, louder, and going further than it ever did before. And Pastor Terry is trying to relax up in Tennessee on vacation, but he sends his love and telling you he's thinking about you and he can't wait to get back with you. This is Pastor's Appreciation Month. That's what we talk about in October is clergy appreciation. That's sort of the theme. And so he historically has always been able to go this time of year up to the Tennessee area and just knock it out of gear. And Gina was looking for me the other day coming back from church yesterday, and she was looking on Find a Friend to see where I was at so I could coordinate with me going down to Greenville. And she just so happened to see where Terry was located, and she's just never paid attention, but she just glanced over, and the very place he's staying, the name of it on the map is Haven. which has all kinds of meanings for us, but in my spirit, it's like your pastor is in safe haven. He is protected in the arms of God. You know, nothing can touch any of us unless it goes through the sovereign hands of God. Nothing touches any of us, can't touch us. And if it touches me, it means God's got something for me. If it touches you, it means God's got something for you. I celebrate today with you that the enemy thought enough of us to try to take out our prophetic voice and heart of worship. I just do. I was like, man, we must be doing something right. I can't believe it. Can you? I cannot believe it. But I'm just looking forward to it. So today, I want to talk to you about the power of honor. The power of honor. And I want to bring something to you. I don't want to talk to you about being polite. I'm not talking to you about etiquette. I'm not, when I say honor, and I'm not even trying, this is not a message to say, hey, you know, go up to Pastor John after service and thank him and love on him, which you should. This ain't got nothing about leadership. This is about the spiritual dynamic that is afforded to you and I if we'll tap into this thing called honor. I'm telling you, God moves and does things when we capture this thing called honor. And it is no reason why the enemy, in so many different ways, is trying to distract you and I, trying to get us cynical, become jaded, to become. The Bible says in the last days, what will happen? Their love will do what? It'll get cold. Because, you know, growing up in churches all my life, I was like, I just don't see how any of this that I'm talking and being taught about in the last days, I just don't see. Boy, I'm telling you now, the Bible reads like the New York Times. It's just like, well, there's another one. So honor is more than etiquette. It's more than being polite or showing respect when it's convenient. Honor is a kingdom principle. It's a spiritual law woven into the fabric of God's order. From Genesis to Revelation, every place where honor is shown, listen to this, heaven responds. Where honor is withheld, doors that could have been opened, shut. Think about it in Mark 6. Even Jesus, the Son of God, God in flesh, carrying all the power and glory, could not do miracles in a place that was his hometown. Why? Because a prophet has no honor in his hometown. Honor isn't about making someone feel good. It isn't about creating it is about creating an atmosphere where God's power can move freely. Honor is like a key. When it's turned, it unlocks heaven's resources so that we can feel it here in our earthly situations. We live in a culture today that often celebrates cynicism. It mocks leadership. It dismisses elders. And it treats the sacred as just common. God forgive us. But God has called his people to live differently. He calls us to walk in a culture of honor. Not because people are perfect. God knows no one here is perfect. But because God, he is worthy. And he works through people, positions, and relationships when they're honored. When you honor your parents, God promises long life. When you honor leadership, God releases favor and protection. When you honor the people that are overlooked and dismissed by society and are cast out, God pours out a blessing on you. And when you honor God himself with your heart, your words, and your actions, heaven will invade your space right then and there. This morning, I want to show you that honor isn't just about being a nice person or being virtuous. It's a powerful spiritual principle that determines how much of heaven you are going to experience here on earth. That's the power of honor. And so this church, if I could say one thing about this church, is we are an honoring people. We really are. So I don't want anybody to think, boy, he must be coming. No, no, I'm celebrating what you know and the relation and the revelation you're walking in, and I'm hoping you and inspiring you to do even more because there's more to experience. I had a pastor friend come a few months back, and we were neighbors, and he's in a different denomination, and he said, Terry, how your people, they're so kind to one another, and they're so esteeming, and And it's just, we don't have that kind of culture in our place, and we want it. I said, how do you get it? And I pointed to someone in leadership at church. I said, watch that one right there. And that person was just working right along someone else that I don't even know. They just walked off the street or something. I mean, it just, I'm not being dismissive. I just don't know who they were. I said, you see that? I said, that's kingdom principles right there. He's honoring him. He's honoring him. Honor opens this whole thing up. There is no hierarchy as far as, you know, should someone be honored or not. Now, God has different roles and positions, and I'm not saying that, but everyone in here is worthy of honor. I don't care if you come from the in-house or the out-house. I don't care what street you was raised on. And let me explain something to you. And the religious spirit's going to reject what I'm about to say. But God honors you. God honors you. He does. And you won't honor yourself sometimes. Now, this ain't about self-esteem. This ain't about, no. I'm saying if God thought enough of me to go to the cross, then why am I so easily dismissive of the Christ in me, the hope of glory? Why am I so just to have, you know, now, I've heard some of you, and y'all have gotten on to me from time to time because I've got a common say, well, I'm just Joyce Wilson's boy from Ruth, North Carolina. I borrowed that from Les Brown, by the way. Anybody ever listen to Les Brown? I borrowed it from him, and it's his way of saying, I adopted it because I hear the same thing when I say it. Man, look what God has done in my life. I'm so undeserving of anything. I would never have thought I could walk and chew gum at the same time. The fact that I stand up here before you today is absolutely amazing to me. So when I say that, it's not a dismissive or, you know, dishonoring. It is really in my heart of hearts saying, boy, God, you have really done. And it's not about me. It's about him. Because just like you, I know where I came from. And I know what God had to do to get me from point A to what you see today. Not that it can improve, I'm not saying that. But you would really appreciate what you see this morning if you understood what it started like. I always tell people, you fuss at me for my sarcasm and what I say, and I get it. It's insulting sometimes. But if you knew what was going on inside of my head, and what I didn't say, you would appreciate how much I filtered out. You would appreciate. So context is everything. It could get worse. But this thing about honor, Paul says it this way in Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly love and affection, outdo one another in showing honor. You know, all through Scripture, we get this principle, don't compare yourselves to one another. You know, comparison's what? The thief of joy, right? We hear all these principles, they're not biblical verses, but they're principles that you hear all throughout Scripture. Don't compare. Only look at yourself. But there's one place in Scripture it says, compare yourself. Right there it is. Outdo one another in showing honor. Pastor John and I have a running joke. It's 20 years old now. I call him Bishop. He calls me Pope. I will then bow, and he'll get prostrate on the ground. It's a race to who can be the most humble in front of each other and show the most honor. And so, because we don't want to outdo, I don't want him to serve me any more than I serve him. That's the only time in Scripture it says to compete, to compare yourself to one another. So honor is important. And the only way I can honor is start off right here. He says in brotherly love and affection. Brotherly love and affection. That means familia, family. Brotherly love, that Philadelphia, brotherly love, you know. And that's a special type of love that you don't get anywhere else in family. was telling the praise team this morning, there's a reason why you feel hurt. There's a reason why you feel pain. And that's because one of your comrades, your soldiers in the field of glory, has taken a shot. And if you feel it, it means you're connected. That's a good thing, because the Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice and to mourn with those who mourn. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, Charlie's on his way back. This is just a hiccup. Don't you worry about a thing. I saw him yesterday. I saw him yesterday, and me and Charlie have a similar affinity to Zig Ziglar and some of those old school motivational guys, because we sort of came up the same way with, you know, that type of thinking and business and stuff and how it permeates life. And Charlie's sitting there, and he looks at me, and he goes, "There's my good friend, November 16th boy, Terry Wilson." And I said, "Hey, Charlie." He says, "Well, what Zig Ziglar quote you got for this one?" I said, "He's back." I want to tell him, he says he'll see you at the top. That's the Zig quote I got for you. But this thing, and you look at it, it says love one another. Well, you know, in Bible, sometimes interpreting scripture, you biblical scholars in here, what do they tell you? What's some good hermeneutical discipline that we need to use? Who wrote it? Who they write it to? That way you get a context of what does it mean? Well, that's Paul. Well, does anyone else have an attitude toward this? Well, let's go over to Peter. Peter says this, honor all people. All people. Love and love the brotherhood. That's almost like the same thing. Honor, fear God, honor the king. Honor all people. There you have it again. A culture of honor versus a culture of self-service. The definition of honor is to value and esteem someone else and to respect them. So in the next few moments, I want to contrast what you are being tempted, what I am being tempted to in the culture, and then what the Bible has to say about it. If you and I look at it, there's culture versus kingdom. There's culture versus kingdom on this thing about honor. Culture says this, tribalism. I only respect those I agree with. Let me make this more practical. Do you have an R by your name or a D? Now are we hitting home? Are we communicating now? Or Andy, what do you believe about the gifts? Because I need to know whether I can honor you or not. Are we hitting home? Or what's your belief system on this? What's your worldview on this? See, culture says you can only respect and honor those that are like you, because the rest of them are your enemy. That's where we're living at in today's culture. You know those people. Those people. If he's a child of God and I'm a child of God, those are my people. I don't care about some of this peripheral stuff. That's for God to work out. Does that mean I compromise? Absolutely not. But I come to a way that somehow we're going to be able to walk in unity together. That just because you're not in my tribe doesn't mean that we can't ride. How does that look? Honor transcends agreement. How do I know? David honored Saul. Saul came from a completely different family. Saul wasn't, he was a Hebrew. David was a Hebrew. They're in a different tribe. David had the opportunity to take Saul's life. He could have expedited what God had promised him right then and there, but he didn't. Why? He honored the king. You honor the king. You honor the position. You honor what God has on them. You see, I want y'all to understand something. I want you to hear me. We made a video last week to honor our pastor. We did. And most of you know I was involved in helping produce that. But I want you to know right now, I didn't create that video because he's my buddy. Or he's the grandfather of my kids. Or he's been a father to the fatherless to me. I honored and made that video because he's the pastor of this house in which I worship. regardless of what our personal connection is, it don't matter. You honor the gift of God on them. Amen? Something else that will keep us is familiarity. That's just so-and-so. That's just so-and-so from such-and-such. How many times, I'm going to tell you right now, this has been my experience. Maybe it's different for you. But every time I've needed God, every time, without fail, that I have needed God to show up in a place and give me some wisdom, he always puts it in a vessel that I did not see coming, that I took for granted, that, oh, that's just so-and-so. He always puts it in another vessel that I just, you got to look at, there's a lot of people in the Bible I feel sorry for, but there's one group that I really feel bad for, and that is the residents of Nazareth. Let me put it in today's terms. Let's say we have global calamity. The whole world goes bankrupt. Dollar falls apart. Calamity everywhere. And God raises up one person in this house that has the answer to everything we need to survive the moment. And not only survive it, but to thrive it. Yet, we miss out. And the guys over in Shelby get it. That would irritate me. I don't know about you, because I would feel so convicted that the very voice of God and the answer of God is sitting right in a row beside me. But I relegated and mitigated what that word was simply because, well, that's just Eric. And Eric's carrying the word of God. He says, Eric's prophetic. There's more. Eric, more. God's got more. But I'm just saying, oh, it's just always been Eric Moore. No. There's more. And the boys over in Shelby, they get it. That's what happened in Jesus' day. He went to and fro healing people. Healing people. Setting them free. There's instances in the Bible where all their life it had been this way. And it's like the message we talked about before. A lot of people say, oh, it is what it is, until they ran into the great I am that I am. Right in front of them was the I am, and they got it. They literally had that Moses burning bush experience. But I, raised by a bush fire, always seen a bush fire, never even thought to think, maybe that's the voice of God coming out of that bush. Familiarity will rob you and I. I'm going to tell you right now, family, what you need, God has put inside of someone in very close proximity to you. Amen. Will you honor them? Will you honor the gift inside of them? Will you perk your ears to heaven and say, what are you saying through this person right here, God? Because that is how he works. Outrage culture. We tear down authority. But God says and sees God's hands even in the imperfect vessel. Folks, there wouldn't be a book in the Bible we could read if we held these writers up to what social media says is the standard. There's not a person in that book. There's not a person in that book, but God used every last one of them. And you and I have a choice to make. We can look at the clay feet of the person carrying the gift of God that he's got for us. Or we can be inspired that if God can use him, if God can use Terry Wilson, then he is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let clay feet distract you. Let it inspire you. Let it be a testimony to what God can do through a willing, imperfect vessel. Because this whole council, cultural, outrage culture, just look at this person. What we should judge is the words that are coming out of their mouth. Not the person, not the his. What are you saying? And how does it stack against Scripture? It's either a ball or a strike. It's either right down the middle of what God is saying, or you missed it. Because I'm going to tell you what. Good people can say bad things and it not be in line. And bad people can be carrying the word of God right then. It's irrelevant who's carrying it. But if we have this heart of, I don't have to honor people unless they're in my tribe. And if I'm familiar with it, then, or they irritate me. And I enjoy being outraged by them because they wear a Clemson hat. And surely God can't move in Clemson. I'm kidding. Hey. See, that's why I don't say this kind of stuff, because I know it's going to get out of hand real quick. Lord, forgive me. Pastor Terry, forgive me. I did not mean to be a distraction. Status idolatry. I only honor the important. I want you to look and read the book of Ruth and how Boaz honored Ruth. Self-importance. I am the one. Culture loves honor when it's about me. When it's about me, honor me. I won't talk about honor if this is about honoring me because of my credentials, my certifications, my whatever. Culture don't have a problem with self-aggrandizement. But the Bible says honor is self-sacrificing. Jesus himself got on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. It is not about position. It's about the power of honor. Transactional, well, what's in it for me? Now, I love all of you. Everybody says, Terry loves me. But I see how some of you honor Terry. And the difference between that and honoring someone else. You should honor Pastor Terry. But you should honor that nursery worker back there too. You should honor the van driver that's bringing people. I don't care what their credential. Now, this ain't about Terry. He's a set man. He has a special honor. Now, I'm not trying to bring one down, but I am saying it is amazing how I've seen switches. Well, hey, Pastor. Reagan, good to have you this morning. My oldest had a friend over at the house one night. And the friend had, I think there was going to be a sporting event, and he brought beverages to celebrate the sporting event. Unabashedly. Just came in. And that's fine. We didn't say anything, you know. Yeah, we're just not going to say anything. So it's out there, you know. The king of beverages is out on display. And then Pastor Terry walks in. He's like, hey, how you doing? It's good to see you. This is our pawpaw. Yeah, yeah. And then they said, yeah, he's also our pastor. And he took that and just. We honor all people. If it convicts you in front of him, let it convict you in front of the other. Either you got a clear heart about it or you don't. Let your yay be yay and your nay be nay. Is it a sin to you or not? And follow your conscience. But it was just funny as all get out. Honor is given freely. Consider the Shunammite woman. Why honor matters. Honor aligns us with God's heart. I want you to read Romans 12:10 sometime. When we honor others, we mirror God's nature. A God who lifts, affirms, and esteems. Honor positions us for blessing. David was honored because David honored. Honor protects unity. Honor creates an atmosphere where God moves. I'm going to go back down to that one right there. I honestly believe we're on the cusp of a real move of God. here and nationally and everything else. You just can't see this kind of spiritual warfare and see all this going on and not say, boy, the devil has really messed up this time. He has just really messed up this. He doesn't mess with the wrong. He woke a sleeping giant. He woke a sleeping giant. But we got to make sure that if we want to go to the next level, then we have to grow to the next level in him. And as we are a people that honor, but I'm saying there's more, Eric. Isn't there? Eric Moore. There's more. I want to do your branding when you get ready. There's more with Eric Moore. We'll do a podcast together. Yeah. So, but when we get this honor thing right, I'm telling you, it opens up the windows of heaven. It really does. How to create a culture of honor. Number one, speak words of life. You and I are going to be tempted from time to time to speak out of what we see that person's feet. But do we see the God in them? The hope of glory? Do we see the gift of God on them? I stand here today in front of you, not because my family years ago came to know Jesus in a little small Baptist church off of Railroad Avenue when the minister of music at the time, this is years ago, got up and sung Just As I Am. And that minister of music was Pastor Hopper, Charlie Hopper's dad. And then I come into this fellowship back in 1986. I know it's 1986 because the Mets won the World Series. It's crazy. You should have seen it. So the youth came over and we watched the World Series that time. But it wasn't because Charlie's my buddy or our families were connected. It was because Bobby McCollum's son went up to Charlie and said, hey, that Joyce boy plays the trombone in the marching band, and I know you're putting a horn section together. You ought to do something. And Charlie made room for a gift that was developing. See, he didn't see a little snot-nosed 14, 15-year-old kids, which he should have. But he honored the gift. It wasn't because, see, he could have easily said, well, that's Joyce Wilson's boy from Ruth. But he didn't. Well, that's one of the Ellenberg kids, and you know the Ellenbergs. Because let me tell you something, if there's one thing we needed was grace, and it was amazing. And when Charlie's dad sung Just As I Am, let me tell you, they came just as they is. Because they didn't even know to clean up. But honor down to pick someone up gets to stand up in front of you today because it put me on a course of loving music, getting in and staying involved in church, staying close to God in ministry. I've been able to go out and plant churches. I've been able to go out and lead worship. I've been able to do a lot of things. God has done it through me, but it's not, it's because a man of God looked past the familiar, looked past, you know, what he could have discounted as that's just Joyce's boy from somewhere. Because how many are we just tempted sometimes? We get so familiar with people, we don't appreciate the God in them that's the hope of glory. And I'm telling you, honor, honor all. It'll set you free, it'll set you up, it'll set you in places that you couldn't imagine you could go. That's what the power of honor will do. It'll speak light. You can speak. Guard your hearts against offense. If there's one thing that I am tempted with every single day of my life more than ever, is I really, really want to be offended. I do. But Christ in me says, you have no right. You have no right. You have no right. Who are you to hold anything against anyone? And I say, thank you, God. You're right, I am just Joyce's boy for Ruth. And look what you've done with just that. So I know you can do the same with what I'm trying to get offended with. Honor with action, not just words. like Joseph, Boaz, and Jesus. Honor those you disagree with, respecting without compromising. I'm not saying you compromise your standards, but there are ways, and you ask God, and he will show you, because I'm telling you, I have people in my life, they're great friends of mine, that we theologically, philosophically, in every single way you could imagine, disagree. But I love them, and they love me. And I'm praying that one day, that relationship and my acceptance of loving them is going to be the seedbed that the Holy Spirit can use to bring about change that needs to be brought about in that person's life. Not because I'm trying to sell them on my religion. Not because I'm trying to convince them of anything. Because I have a heart for them, and I know if Jesus could do this for me, oh, what he could do for you. It's the best thing going. It's the best thing I've ever been involved in, is the presence of God. Honor the overlooked. Be intentional in lifting those that culture ignore. I come to you today as a minister, of course, but also with a little bit of experience in the branding world. In church, family, I need to talk to you about our branding for just a second. Our branding has suffered in the food industry for a while. If you talk to waiters and waitresses and people in the food industry, they will tell you the worst day of the entire week to work in is on Sunday. And it's because of the church folk. And I can't reach every Christian in every church this morning, but if I could implore you, if I could beg you, if let's bring it in Paul's language. I beseech you, Father's Vineyard, today when you go to eat, you look that waiter and waitress in the eye and you love on them, you esteem them, you honor them, you give grace when they don't fill up your tea, and you be a witness to help turn this branding around. Because why would anybody that serves food want to go to church? And some of the experiences that I've heard about, it should not be. And I hear from my kids that have taught, been in that, and I says, well, guys, have you ever noticed when we went to Dragon Palace years ago when TC ran it, when we go to meat pubs now and we go to other places, they clear tables and they're fighting over who gets our table? I said, that's the power of honor. We used to go, Pastor Terry and I, after services, we'd go over to, what's the name of that restaurant that's by Bojangles? It's like Applebee's. Chili's, thank you. We go to Chili's. And I can't tell you how many waiters and waitresses we were able to minister to. And one of them, I don't want to embarrass them, started coming to church here because of those encounters. Now, I'm not saying look at us. I'm not saying that. It ain't, but I'm telling you this. We're always saying, Lord, send me. Lord, give me a ministry. Lord, give me an opportunity to show you. Well, when you sit down to eat today, there's your mission field. There is your mission field. How are you going to minister to them? I beseech you, please, help us on the branding. And leave a tip. Eric says there's more. There's more to this word. And put your money where your mouth is. And I want to say this real quick. I really do. I don't want to put anybody in a condemnation. But if you can't afford to bless someone in that environment, don't go. If you're coming in on two wheels and you can barely pay, then maybe consider ordering something different. Or eating at home. Now, that's my conviction. That's not thus saith the Lord, but I just want to give some wisdom. If I don't have enough resources at that time to be a blessing, then you know maybe it's not the time to go. Because blessing them and being a minister of the gospel to them is just as much of the calculus I have to come up with when I'm deciding, hey, do we go to Chili's today or not? Amen? Yeah. Hey, y'all okay with that? I don't want to put anybody in a conviction, but I just think that needed to be. Yep, I agree. So honor is counterculture, but it's kingdom power. Bible says in Matthew 10, whoever receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Honor is not weakness, my friend. It's not. It's strength. You know, that whole thing, the meek shall inherit the earth. We always get that confused. That word meek is not about, hey, mild tempered, get killed in a fight. You know what it means in the Greek? It's actually an analogy. It says, those who have a sword and know how to use it, but keep it sheathed, will inherit the earth. That is a picture of honor. That's a picture of honor. It don't take no kind of man to snub their nose. But a man to take time, a lady to take time and bow and give preference to, what kind of power, what kind of fortitude, what kind of love is in operation in that person? I'm calling ourselves to a higher level, a greater level. We do good. This isn't about, this isn't a conviction. It's saying there's more. There's another level. And we know there's another level prophetically because of what the enemy's thinking. So he's telegraphed. Hey, there's something about going on. There's a prophetic word. There's a heart of worship coming out. We got to do something. So I know there's more. And the key to turning it up is learning how to honor one another. Doesn't mean we condone sin or overlook truth either. But we recognize God's image calling and we honor. In a culture quick to dishonor, the church must shine as a counterculture. And I want to leave you with this. In this study, I knew about the whole thing about Nazareth dishonoring Jesus and just not thinking much of him. Oh, that's Mary's boy from Nazareth. It'll fade. You know what I didn't realize? And I'm ashamed to say this. I've been a Bible student my whole life. There's some things I just took for granted. How many in here wish, I shouldn't do that. I'm trying to make myself feel better because I thought something that was wrong. I'm going to die on this sword out here by myself. Keep your hands down. I have outlined the entire New Testament and taught on it, and maybe I studied it and forgot it. But I always, Pastor John, just the book of James was written by James, his half-brother, right? Right? We know that. That's his half-brother. Jesus' half-brother that wrote the book of James. James is the oldest book in the New Testament. Here's where I just, there are two Jameses that are disciples that followed Jesus on the earth. I always assumed one of them was his half-brother. Nay. Now, if that's for me, tell him I'm almost done. Nay. That is not his half-brother that was one of the two disciples. His half-brother had the same attitude as Nazareth. That's just my half-brother. He'll calm down and get back to the wood shop and start building cabinets. He just, you know how kids are when they go off to college and come back with all these confounded ideas. But he'll get back to the family business and we'll get back to normal. Wasn't till James saw the resurrected Christ that he could recognize Abraham saw his daddy and rejoiced. He is, I am. He's not just divinity. He's divine. He couldn't see it because of his relationship with him. And here's what I will tell you. He didn't get into his full ministry until Jesus had done the ministry, went to the grave, come back up, and he saw him in his resurrected life. Those who are theologians in here know there's one book that counterbalances the other epistles in the New Testament, and that's the book of James. The Pauline doctrine is faith alone that you are saved, not by works, but faith, and that is a truth. But God in his divinity and his omniscience and knowing how humanity is, that if we don't have the flip side of that coin, we'll take it too far and it'll just be like, well, my actions don't have to match up with my words. I said I was saved. Now stop judging me, Pastor. So he raises up his half-brother to put a counterbalance. One book that acts as a counter lever to the rest of them and says, But faith without works is dead. It can't be words alone. My question to you is the impact of that book and what it had. Man, if James could have got out of himself and not saw Jesus as my half-brother, but Jesus, the one who was foretold and foreknown, what more could he have? Now, he's walking in God's sovereignty. I'm not saying anything like that, but I'm saying he robbed himself. He robbed himself of experiencing more because he didn't see Jesus except his half-brother. My charge to you today is, what has God got in store for you? What is God wanting to do for you, to you, and through you if we will turn the key of honor? Folks, this morning we're going to have an opportunity to put our feet with our mouths. We said something about taking up a special offering for Pastor Terry and in the hustle and bustle. We got that. And we also want to give you an opportunity. If you got any special notes or anything you want to encourage Charlie with, we're going down there today to speak words of encouragement. You can drop it off at the communication center there with Rita and we'll get it. But I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you. Honor. Honor. Honor the ones that you take for granted. Honor the ones that are sitting right beside you and say, well, that's just so-and-so. Yeah, but the Christ in them is the hope for your glory. Well, what does that mean? Glory in that text is his manifest presence. God's always with us. But if I want to see him, feel him, and I mean really experience him in a palpable way, I need his glory. And the hope that I have for his glory may be sitting right beside me this morning. Amen? Bow your heads. Lord, I thank you this morning for who you are. I thank you for how you are. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your people. I thank you for our pastor. I thank you for our worship leader. I thank you for our praise team. I thank you for our church. I thank you for our directors. I thank you for everything that you have done for us, to us, and through us. And Lord, we look with expectations on what you're going to do because we know you're a good God. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know your principles, and we know when the enemy comes in, that much more grace abounds. And so we're looking for that more grace, God, because we know you're about to turn it on us and turn it loose. So we thank you, we love you, and we ask you to be with us throughout the week and prickle our hearts, God, to show us opportunities to show honor. In your name we pray. Amen. Stay seated real quick. Pastor John's got something for you, and we'll be right out of here.
Thank you. Amen. How many know it's a great word this morning? Yeah. Amen. Thank God for it. Now, y'all don't get this, but I call him Pastor T.W. Amen. We're going to receive, we're going to honor Pastor Terry. We apologize. We were supposed to have did it last week, and it kind of slipped our minds. But we're going to receive an offering for Pastor Terry for his appreciation this week. So if you want to give, I know some of you have already given, so don't worry about that. But the ones, we just want to give an opportunity for those that would like to give. You can come at this time and give if you would, please. Yes. Okay. You can also give online and just designate it Pastor Appreciation or, you know, a gift for Pastor Terry, however you want to do it. Amen. Can we get some music? Is Susan here? Where she's at? She gone? Okay. That's all right. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right. We have a few announcements for you this morning. And just want to remind you, a volunteer appreciation meal that we're going to have, that's going to be on November the 9th. Okay. And if you haven't already signed up, if you are a volunteer, if you help with the hurricane relief, whatever, you know, you volunteered to do, we want you to sign up. And you can sign up at the Communication Center, or you can go online and sign up that way also. But please, if you're going to come, sign up. But if you're not going to come, because we got to have a head count for the food, so we don't want to just be paying for somebody that don't show up, okay? So please, if you're going to come, sign up and we appreciate you. We want to honor you that night. Amen. We, as a pastor, Bishop, Pastor T.W. over there, sure, I started to call him the Bishop T.W. But we want to honor you guys for your effort and for your time and just volunteering, okay? Next Sunday will be our new members class, November the 2nd. If you'd like to become a member here at Father's Vineyard, please sign up at the Information Center. And also, next Sunday, we will have a new Sunday school class, and it will be Where is God When It Hurts? That's going to be by Brother Ed Somerville. He's going to be teaching that class. But remember, next week, time goes what? Back, okay? So remember that. Next Saturday night, turn your clocks back 1 hour, okay? You get an hour extra rest. Amen. Praise God for that. All right. Let's see what else I got here. I got South Mountain Christian Camp, the 5K trail run. That's going to be at South Mountain Christian Camp. And also this Wednesday, we will not have Bible study, but we will have a night of worship. Amen. So come out and be a part of that. We have a night of worshiping God and praying, and we're just going to honor God on that night, okay? Let me see, and that's at 6:30? Okay, all right, thank you. It's going to be at 6:30, okay? Correction there, all right? Just making sure I covered everything this morning. All right. What we want to do now, we want to honor some people. Amen. How many had a birthday in October? Amen. Nobody? Okay. Well, Stan, we want to honor you this morning and sing happy birthday to you for October's birthdays. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Jesus loves you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Amen. And remember, amen, when one is honored, one is suffering. How many know we all suffer? When one is honored, we all are being honored. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. Amen. And I mean to know that we need to live intentional that way. Thank God for the word, amen, coming from Bishop T.
And I'm up here preaching on honor, and I forgot to honor someone this morning. I want to honor someone that's just came to our church this morning. Miss Trejo, would you stand?
Miss Trejo.
Miss Trejo, would you stand? Oh. You and your husband, Jonathan.
Amen.
Good to have you guys this morning. Amen. Wanted to honor you.
Amen. Got my baby girl back there, Miss Gabby. Amen. Glad to have you guys. We do honor you guys. Amen. All right, let's stand. Amen. And we're going to have a blessed week, right? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the word of the Lord this morning, Father. And God, we just put it into practice. We honor your body, Father. And God, we know that you even, those that seem to be less concerned, but God, you give double honor, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you for it this morning. And God, help us to be reminded of your word throughout this week. And Lord, we pray your blessings on Wednesday night. We thank you for Pastor Charlie and Pastor Terry, Miss Brenda, Lord. And God, we thank you, Lord God, for a great turnaround, Father, that you get the glory out of what's taking place in their lives, Lord. And God, we thank you, God, that there's going to be total restoration in their bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.